I will take my mask off so that you can understand me, but it's a bit of a custom-made mask for my message today. I'll put it, you probably can't really see it, but all right. Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning, those of you that are here. Good morning, everybody online. I'm so glad that we're able to be together and worship as a church family, even though things will look a little bit different. I mean, today I won't be able to tell if you are enjoying my message or if you completely hate it because your faces are covered. So this could go either way for me today. I'm not sure. We'll have to see how it goes. So I am going to be talking about superheroes and Avengers, so you can take a look at my mask afterwards. It actually has the Bedazzled Avengers logo on the mask, and I'm sporting my Captain Marvel t-shirt for you this morning, so I had to come up with something creative. I usually do something like fun, like a game or an activity, but this sermon is going to be a little bit different this morning. So as you guys know, our series this summer has been called More Than a Song, and we've been talking about biblical poetry for following Jesus. So we've heard some great messages over the last couple weeks from Pastor Tracy and Pastor Ethan, but this morning we're going to pause and we're going to step out of this series, and we're actually going to be looking at the book of Ephesians. As I'm not sure if any of you read the devotional, but Pastor Tracy shared that this week that I'm currently working on some courses in order to receive my credentials with the PAOC. So this morning, you guys are part of my school assignment. Yay, thank you so much for being here. So I'm currently taking a course on homiletics, which is preparing and speaking Bible messages. So thank you for being here this morning. Thank you for stepping outside of the series so that I have the opportunity to do this today. All right, so something that many of you might not know about me is I love superheroes. I love superhero movies, whether it's Marvel or DC. I'll never say no to a good superhero movie. I was not into comic books as a kid, so I can't tell you plot lines. I can't tell you, oh, this Avengers movie was incorrect, or Iron Man, this should have happened, because I didn't read the comic books. But I just love the movies full of action where the heroes always save the day in the end. I remember as a kid watching the Superman series with Christopher Reeves for the very first time. It was a magical moment for me, and I was glued to the TV, and I loved every moment of it. I'm pretty sure that it was like also father-daughter bonding time. My poor dad had two girls who were like not interested in anything that he liked to do. He wanted to go fishing, like hunting, all those kinds of things, and we wanted nothing to do with that. So watching superhero movies and action movies, that was our bonding time with my dad. So when we first went into this COVID quarantine, I decided to watch all of the Marvel movies in chronological order from beginning to the end. I'm not sure if you know this, but there is about 45 hours worth of Marvel movies to watch. It took Dante and I a couple weeks to do it, but we did it. It was crazy. We loved it. I enjoyed it. It actually helped me to watch them all in order because I could place all the things that happened, whereas when you watch them kind of as they come out, you kind of have to piece and that kind of thing. If you've never watched the Marvel movies, I apologize, because some of the things that I say this morning might not mean anything to you. But I think most people have seen or heard about them at least. So it also seems like I wasn't the only one that decided to take on the Marvel movie marathon. There's a few families that I know of that partook of that this quarantine or are still working their way through it. I know the Jamesons had like an epic final. They did like shawarma and watched the last movie. It was like a whole thing. I was like, man, I wish I would have thought of that. Dante and I were just like, let's have some popcorn. That was definitely the way to do it. So one of the things that I love about superhero movies, besides the fact that the heroes usually win in the end, is the suits that they get to wear. Now, it did, for a very brief moment, cross my mind to come in like an Iron Man costume, but I thought that might be taking it one step too far, so I just wore my Captain Marvel t-shirt instead. But I love those suits, and I mean, if you think of all the different suits that Tony Stark created for the different people in the movies and for himself, I think we've got a picture that Vaughn can put up there, they're just unbelievable as to what that these suits can do. And that's just a few of them, right? Like, that doesn't even show Falcons and some of the other amazing suits that he did. But another one of my favorite things about a superhero movie is that just before the hero or his team is getting ready to head out to battle, there's a point where they have to suit up and get ready. So here is just a little clip from one of the Avengers movies for you to enjoy.
Time to go.
Go where?
I'll tell you on the way. Can you fly one of those jets?
I can.
You got a suit? Then suit up. Son, just don't.
Okay, so I'm sure now you're all wondering, why is Margaret talking about the Avengers and superheroes this morning? But stick with me, I do have a point, I promise. The Avengers wouldn't be able to do their job, which is protecting Earth, if they were not ready for the battle. Part of being ready for the battle is putting on their suits and grabbing their weapons. How many of you would love to have a superhero suit? Online, it's okay, you can comment and let us know. If you could pick... I want you to think about this. If you could pick the most amazing superhero power, think about what would it be? If you're watching online, you can fire off some of those answers and let us know. I think I would want to fly. Like, I would want a suit like Iron Man or Falcon so that I could fly. Many of you, I love to travel, and right now, obviously, travel is not happening. But I thought if I had one of those flying suits, I could go wherever I wanted to. That would be pretty awesome. Well, today we are going to be looking at a way that Christians can suit up and be ready for all the battles and challenges that we face from day to day. So the passage of scripture that we are going to be looking at will be very familiar to anybody who has spent any time in church or who has gone to Sunday school. We're going to be looking at the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 18. So Paul wrote the book of Ephesians while he was imprisoned in Ephesus by the Roman government. And while he was there, Paul was under house arrest. But rather than being in an actual prison cell, he would have been just in a house with somebody guarding and protecting him. So unlike us today, like if you're under house arrest, you know they put those like cuffs and things on your ankles to make sure that they can track you. He wouldn't have had that cuff on them, but they say in some of the commentaries that I was reading, they were saying it was very likely that he actually had a soldier or a guard chained to him so that somebody was with him all the time so that he couldn't escape because they just had him under house arrest. And it was during this time that Paul would have been spending so much time with the Roman soldier that he was looking at, he saw his uniforms and the Lord gave him a picture of what it would look like for Christians to have a suit of armor as well. And in this particular passage, we're going to look at what that Roman armor translates for us as Christians today. But before we jump into Ephesians chapter 6, it's going to be helpful for us to have a little bit of an idea of what Paul wrote before he wrote the section of the coat of arms. So in the first three chapters, 1 to 3, Paul is sharing the gospel story and how all of history came together in its climax leading to Jesus. And the second half of the letter, chapters 4 to 6, Paul is sharing how the gospel story should affect our life and how we live. Chapter 4, verse 1 opens with Paul calling Christians to walk worthily of the calling with which you were called. He then goes on to explain what it means to walk worthy of that calling. He called these Christians not to be alienated from the life of God, but to be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new man who is in the likeness of God and has been created in righteousness and holiness of truth, to put away falsehood and to speak truth with our neighbors, to deal with their anger, not allowing it to cause them to sin and not letting the sun go down with unresolved anger, not to be foolish or drunken, but to be filled with the Spirit. And lastly, Paul called wives to be subject to their husbands and husbands to love their wives, even as Christ loved the church, and children to obey their parents and slaves to obey their masters and masters to treat their slaves kindly and respectfully, knowing that God is both their master and yours in heaven and that there is no partiality with him. So Paul knew that following the guidance he was giving in chapters 4, 1 through 6 to 9, would not be easy for the believers. So he added the armor of God passage to give the Ephesian Christians and us the spiritual resources to do what is needed. So this morning, as we look at the armor of God, we're going to look at who our source of strength is, why we need to suit up, and what we need in order to suit up. So let's jump in. If you have your Bibles or your Bible app, you can turn to Ephesians chapter 6. All of the scriptures are also in the YouVersion app, so you can follow along there. I had to borrow a pew Bible because I realized my poor Bible that I always use when I teach has fallen apart. So it's time. I think it's time for me to get a new Bible. So this morning I borrowed one of our pew Bibles. So finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayer and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep praying for all of the Lord's people. Okay, so to begin with, we are going to look at what is our source of strength. If we look at Iron Man just for a quick second, his power for his amazing suits comes from that arc reactor that he created. He couldn't run his suit on his own human strength. He needed to have some kind of a power source, something to make his suit do all those cool things that it could do. Most people would like to think that they can also do things in their own strength and we can conquer anything that we want to on our own, myself included. I'm sometimes very guilty and I have German stubbornness in me, so I like to think that I can do everything on my own. But this is why one of the first things that Paul writes about is a reminder for us to be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. The Greek translation of the word to be strong literally means be strengthened. Paul likely took the idea from 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6, where it said that David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Paul is not suggesting that we go to a spiritual fitness center or a training camp to gain spiritual muscle mass to make us strong so we can stand against the evil in the world. Instead, he is saying we need to invite God to strengthen us. And I was reading and getting ready for this, I came across something that a pastor had written in an article, and he said, we need to be strengthened. The emphasis is on what the Lord can do. We can't face life on our own. We need God to work through. Sorry, I jumped ahead. My apologies. When we say be strong, the emphasis is not on what we can do in a humanistic effort doomed to failure. When we say be strengthened, the emphasis is on what the Lord can do. And we can't face life on our own. We need God to work through us and in us. When Paul writes in his mighty power, he's referring to the limitlessness of the Lord's power. When we ask God to give us power, we are going to somebody that is able to do more than we can ask or imagine, as it says earlier in Ephesians in chapter 3, verse 20. Think of all the amazing things that God has done from creating the whole world, to raising Jesus from the dead. If God has the power to create the whole world and bring people back from the dead, just imagine what he could do in us if we allow him. Thankfully, we are not left to our own strength. We have a God that is willing to help strengthen us so that we can be protected in the battles that we must face. But we need to be open to God and allow him to work in our lives. So the second thing we're going to look at is why we need to suit up. So who is it that we actually need protection from? Paul tells us that we need to put on the full armor of God so that we can take our stand against the devil's schemes. Peter warned us in 1 Peter chapter 5, 8, the devil walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. This gives us a great image of a lion, of what the devil is like. You know, you've seen images of lions creeping out in the field, ready to pounce on their prey. Their lions can roar, but they also like to stalk. They're very quiet, and they usually sneak up on their prey without them even knowing. They don't always succeed in bringing down their prey, but they prowl relentlessly until their bellies are full. And when they begin to feel hungry again, they restart the process. So Satan is going to continue to try, just like that lion, to pursue us, and he's going to be sneaky about it. Satan will pursue us relentlessly, skillfully assessing how we might mostly be tempted, whether we might most easily be persuaded to go an inch in the wrong direction or a mile. Paul then goes to say that the struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, and against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So the fight or struggle is not with flesh and blood, like it was for the Avengers when they took on Thanos and his armies. The fight is against malicious spiritual forces. One commentary that I was reading through described the list of spiritual forces working against us as a spiritual mafia that is organized and established into ranks and is under the headship of Satan. That's a pretty Like, I've read this scripture many times, but when I thought of it, like, and I referred to all the mafia movies and things that I've seen, I was like, that's actually a really great description of all the different levels of evil that are against us. So in this mafia, the most dangerous to us are the spiritual forces of evil that are in the heavenly realms. These forces are more dangerous than the ordinary evil person. Their headquarters is in the heavenly realm, and from this elevated place, Satan directs the activities of his henchmen here on earth. Even though there are many ranks at work against us, they all have one goal: to knock the Christian down, to cause us to sin, or even worse, to cause Christians to turn away from God. So now that we know our strength and where our power come from, we know who we are battling against, we can move on to our third part of the sermon this morning, which is what we need in order to suit up. So Paul tells us to put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, we may be able to stand our ground. We need to put the whole armor of God on, not just parts of it. If Iron Man went into battle with no suit, he wouldn't be Iron Man at all. He would just be Tony Stark out there fighting the world. But if he went into battle with only part of his suit, he would be left exposed to his enemies. So in order for him to be the most effective superhero he could be, he would need to have his whole suit. And this is the same for us as Christians. If we only go against Satan and the evil in this world dressed in partial armor, it would leave us dangerously vulnerable. When Paul refers to the day of evil, there's no specific date or time. It could literally be any time from now until Jesus returns. So this means that we need to be ready at all times. It's not just a once-in-a-lifetime thing that we do. Satan can decide to attack whenever he wants. This doesn't mean that we have to live the rest of our lives in fear. Yes, we're going to have scary situations that we have to face, but if our armor is in place, there's nothing that we have to fear to be scared of. We can face anything because we know that God is with us. In 1 John chapter 4:4, John writes, "You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them," which he's just referring to evil spirits, "because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world," which is Satan. In James 4:7, it says, "Submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." If we have our armor in place, if we are firm in our faith, we will be able to resist the devil. Verse 14 starts off with, "Stand firm." We can only do this if we are equipped with the armor that God has given us in Jesus Christ. Each aspect of this symbolic armor answers a specific area within the Christian life that enables us to stand against these spiritual attacks. So now that we've been instructed to put on the full armor, we have the promise of the power of God in victory over the devil. Paul specifically describes the various pieces of armor that we need. An interesting thing to note is the order that Paul describes the armor is the order that a soldier would actually put the armor on. So they start with the parts underneath, and then they build on the soldier's uniform. If the soldier were to have skipped a piece or tried to put his uniform on out of place, he might not have been able to do that. Like, if he had his sword first and then tried to put on his armor, well, now he's short of hands, so he wouldn't be able to put his armor. So it's important. It's just another great reminder that it's important for us to put on the whole armor of God so that we can be ready. So in the passage, Paul starts with the belt of truth. And this is pictured as a large leather belt that the Roman soldier wore. It would have held weapons and kept outer garments in place. But to put on the belt of truth can be understood as accepting the truth of the Bible and choosing to follow it with integrity. We need to know that the Bible is true and that we're always to do what it says, even when it's not acknowledged by others, convenient, or if it's difficult for us. He then moves on to the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate is the part of the armor that protects the soldier's torso from attack, and it likely covered from about your neck to mid-thigh. When Paul is referring to the righteousness here, he's not referring to the justification that we gained at conversion, but the sanctifying righteousness of Christ practiced in a believer's life. Just like the breastplate protects his chest from the enemy's attack, so does the sanctifying, righteous, living guard a believer's heart. So does the sanctifying righteous living guard a believer's heart against the attack of the devil. In other words, we need to live out our life in a way that is holy and pleasing to God. Next, Paul talks about the feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. The readiness is represented as the protective shoes or sandals worn by a Roman soldier. These shoes would have needed to have been very strong, and they would have needed to ensure a good grip. The soldiers would need this good footwear in order to march and to fight in battle, especially if the terrain was tough. For us as believers, the gospel provides the foundation for everything that we know and do. If we have a strong foundation, we will be able to stand firm against the enemy, and we will be able to share the good news of Christ and how he defeated our enemy. The next piece of armor Paul describes is the shield of faith. We're to take up the shield of faith to extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. The shield that Paul is referring to is a large oblong shield that could protect the whole body of the soldier. It was common practice for the Romans to use flaming arrows in battle, so these shields would have been covered in leather protection that would help to put the flaming arrows out. And as we already heard this morning, Satan is always trying to find ways to attack us. He's constantly going to be shooting these flaming arrows at us. He will use anything he can, like our insecurities, our doubt, our fears, disappointment, lies, and so many more things to try to destroy us. As Christian, it's our unwavering faith in the Lord that will be able to stop and extinguish these flaming arrows. We need to trust in God and know that what he says he is going to do will be done. The next piece of armor is the helmet of salvation. In 1 Thessalonians 5:8, it speaks of the helmet of salvation in connection with the hope of salvation. The helmet of salvation protects us against the desire to give up, giving us hope not only in knowing we are saved, but that we will be saved. It's the assurance that God will triumph in the end. We need to never give up on God. We need to trust his promises that he gave us through our salvation, that we are his children, and that someday we will get to be with him in his kingdom. The final piece of armor that we are to take up is the sword of the Spirit. The sword would be the soldier's major weapon against his enemy. It would be sheathed to his belt, and it would be used for both the offensive and defensive purposes. It would be the last thing that he would take up before he went into battle. For us, the sword represents the word of God, the scriptures inspired by the Holy Spirit. Taking up the sword of the Spirit can be understood as using the scripture in life situations to fend off the attacks of the enemy and to make him flee. And the best example of this that we can see is when Jesus fought the temptation of Satan using scripture Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. Jesus was able to use the word of God to defend himself against Satan's best efforts, but because Jesus knew the scriptures, he was able to do that. In order for us as Christians to be able to use the word of God as a weapon, we need to know our Bible and we need to know what it says. The only way we can do this is through taking the time to read and study the Bible. If we don't know the word of God, how can we use it in defense against any battle that we face, let alone Satan? Finally, we come to the most important weapon, which is prayer. Now, prayer is not actually listed in the scripture as a weapon, but it's essential for all Christians to have as part of our daily life. Paul says we are to pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people. From this, we can take away some practical things to remember when we are praying. First, we must pray in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit involves prayer inspired and guided by the Holy Spirit. It's prayer that seeks the Spirit's guidance and the Spirit's will for our lives. In Romans 8:26, it says, "The Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans." So even if we don't know what to pray for, if we pray in the Spirit, he will help us. Secondly, our prayers must be intense. We are to be alert and always keep on praying. We need to maintain a spirit of watchfulness and perseverance and make sure that we are not caught off guard. Prayer demands our full attention. We need to remove any distractions and find a place that we can spend our prayer time with God uninterrupted. I am a person who has a very short attention span, so spending long times in prayer are very difficult for me, and I get distracted by all the things around me. So just a couple of the things that I personally have to do in order to seek this time and have this time is usually I play instrumental worship music quietly in the background so it distracts me from any of the noises that could be going around. And I usually will have a piece of paper and a pen or something beside me with me so that if an idea or something pops into my head that is not what I'm supposed to be praying about at that moment, I can just jot it down and come back to it later. So those are some things that I have built into my prayer time so that I can spend that uninterrupted, quiet, quality prayer time with God. The final thought is to make sure that our prayers are unselfish. We need to make sure that we are not only praying for ourselves or for the things that will benefit us, but we are called to pray for all the Lord's people. I mean, after all, we are all facing the same battle against Satan, and we all have the same job, which is to share the gospel with others. So this morning, I want to encourage you to not leave yourself vulnerable. Suit up and put on the whole armor of God. Truth, righteousness, the gospel, faith, the hope of salvation, the word of God, and prayer. If we arm ourselves with all of these qualities, then we will be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We as Christians need to have a never say die determination when it comes to fighting Satan and the evil in this world. We need to constantly be prepared to fight against the fiery arrows that are shot at us. The Avengers did not give up when Thanos caused chaos. They persisted and they did whatever they could to make things right again. This is the attitude that we need to have. We can't give up when things get hard. I'm sure that most of you have heard the saying, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. Paul is calling us to get tough and to stand firm against Satan. God has given us the tools that we need to fight the battles and to be victorious. But in the end, the choice is ours. It is up to you to decide what you want to do. God can't force us to do anything. So what are you going to do this morning? Are you going to stand aside and take whatever Satan fires at you? Or are you going to suit up and be prepared every day in order to fight against him? I just want to leave you with one verse as a reminder that we never have to face the evil of this world alone. As long as we trust in God and have faith in him, God has promised that he will always be with us. And this is not in the YouVersion app, I apologize. It's from Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10 to 12. And it says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. All who rage against you will surely be ashamed and disgraced. Those who oppose you will be as nothing and perish. Though you search for your enemies, you will not find them. Those who wage war against you will be as nothing at all."